Rabbi Moshe Bitzal Grossnas. The title is The Well of Miriam, Parshas Chukas. Okay, good morning all. In our Parsha, we have various psukim regarding Be'er Shel Miriam, the Well of Miriam. And it's discussed actually in two places in the Parsha. Once, when Miriam died, it was Nifta, the Misas Nashika, and we find that the water stops, the world stopped. It was Beschus Miriam, the water stopped. So what did the Klal Yisrael do? They cried out to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu in turn went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know what happened. He was meant to speak to the rock. Instead he hit the rock and Mayim came again. Water came once again to Klal Yisrael. At the end of this week's Sedra, we have another topic relevant to the Be'er Shel Miriam, and that's after the Be'er has come back and Klal Yisrael are heading towards Eretz Yisrael, and they go in the valley and the Goyim are hiding in the nooks and crannies of this mountain to shoot arrows and throw spears at the Eden as they pass by. It would be a perfect ambush. And what happens? The mountain moves and the mountain has things that are sticking out that fit exactly into the holes of these caves and crush all the people inside, were killed, and Klal Yisrael was saved. The only problem was, how were Klal Yisrael to know that they were saved? There's so many chasodim taka we say in Hallel that we don't know about it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. But this one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to tell Klal Yisrael that they were saved. So how did he do this? He let the Be'er Shel Miriam go and pick up all the bones and blood and let it flow in front of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael realized they'd been saved from an ambush. So these are the two topics relevant to Be'er Shel Miriam that come in this week's Sedra. Now, I want to share with you a little bit of Hilchos Refuah. I just happen to be learning these halachas at the moment, giving a share on it, and we'll see how it's relevant to this week's parasha. In Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredeya, Simon Shin Lamed Vav, it's brought right at the end of Shin Lamed Hei, it's brought that sometimes one changes the name of someone that's ill, and this could be a way to a skula to heal him. What the understanding in that? It could be understood various ways. Maybe he's now a different person. He's not the person that the Gzeira was on. Various ways of understanding. But I'll call upon him. The Ramal says, I'll read it to you. There is a custom to give blessings to Choylem Bebeis HaKnesses in Shul. Likroi lohem Shem Chodosh, to call them a new name. Ki Shinui Hashem Korea Gzadinoi. Because changing a name can sometimes be Korea, the Gzadin of a person. We all know that sometimes in very, very serious situations, people's names have been changed. Now, in the Be'er Mayim Chaim, in this week's Sedra, he says, changing a name is not a simple thing. Right? It's true, it's more an halacha to change a name. But a name is the essence of a person. The Baruch Chaim HaKadosh says, in Chafetz Hashem, in Brachos Daf Yud Gimel, where the Gemara talks about how a name has effect on a person, the Gemara says, L'chu chazu mifalois Hashem ashesom shamois ba'oretz. And the Gemara explains it means names. And the Gemara brings lots of different cases where the name was the outcome of the person. For instance, Rus is called Rus because Shariyahu ha'akadosh baruch hu b'shir Rus b'sishpachus. Right? David HaMelech came from Rus. And in a name is hinted that there's going to be shirois b'sishpachus, Rus. Etc., etc., many, many different examples of how the name affects a person. Last week's Sedra, for instance, the Chasam Sofer says, what was Korach's downfall? Vayikach Korach, the name Korach was his downfall. Why was that his downfall? Says the Chasam Sofer, because Korach's, the first time the name Korach was ever given was to one of the princes of Esau, Alufei Esau. So it's the name of a Rosha. The name of a Rosha given to a Jewish person can affect him and make him fall. Vayikach Korach, what took him away? The name Korach. I don't know if you know Sandy Halpern from Golders Green. He told me that he's a moel. He told me that he was once at a bris, and at the bris, it was a non-from people, and at the bris, the father said he wants to call the boy Esau, right? Esau. So he said no. He doesn't want to. He didn't want to explain them exactly why. He said he was humming and hawing, and then the mother of this father, the grandmother, said, "Isn't Esau a bad name, like a wicked man in the Torah?" So he said, "Yeah." So okay, you know what? Choose a different name. So he chose Yaakov. But Al Kaponim, giving a bad name, which is fashionable in some places, is not good. Not just because you're not meant to upkeep the name of the Rosha, Shem Rishayim Yerukav. You're not meant to allow the name of the Rosha to continue to be famous, but because also Shem Rishayim, if one gives the name of a Rosha, Yerukov, it makes the person rot. It's not good for the person. So a name is very important. The correct name is super important. Says the Be'er Ma'am Chaim, if one has to change the name of a person, one should go first to a tzaddik, which he says, Roiv Drochov should be Api Ruach HaKodesh. There's only a few of those in every generation. It should be a very great tzaddik to be able to change the name. Otherwise, don't. And he explains as follows, with this week's Sedra. The name of a person, as we said, the Rachaim says, is the essence of the person. It's actually why HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the person's neshama. And Hashem makes the father call his child the name that Hashem has already called the neshama. So for instance, if you want to know why the Beirush of Miriam came from Miriam, he says, take a look at Miriam's name. Miriam's name, Miriam, has in it the words Mayim. But not only that, what about the Reish? The Reish doesn't have anything to do with water. Their answer is that water is also hinted in her full name, i.e., when you spell every letter out fully, Mem is Mem and Mem, Reish is Reish Yud Shin, Yud of Miriam is Yud Vav Dalet, and Mem again is Mem Mem. So now find Mayim in the inner letters of Miriam. Every second letter will spell out Mayim except from the letter Yud. So let's have a look. Mem has a Mem and a Mem. So we take the second Mem. Reish has a Reish, Yud, Shin. So take the Yud, Mem, Yud. Skip out the Yud, doesn't have any Remez, and go to the last Mem, and again is Mayim. So you have Mayim hinted in her name as you see it, and Mayim hinted in her name if you spell it out in full, this time using the Reish. So her essence is water, and from her came Beirah Shomiriam. And as soon as she was no longer, the Beirah disappeared. So imagine we'd have changed her name, she wouldn't anymore have this Shoresh, this tachlis of bringing water to Klal Yisrael. And that's why it's important that a name is given correctly and isn't just changed with no good reason. Now, eventually, Moshe Rabbeinu brings back the water. How? How could he bring back water? In his name, it doesn't say water. In his name, it says Mon. Moshe, the Schus of Moshe brought the Mon. If you take every end letter of Moshe spelt fully, so Moshe is Mem, Mem. The last letter of Moshe is a Mem. Moshe, his second letter is Shin. The last letter of Shin is an Endonun. That's Nun. And the last letter of Moshe is a Hey, which is Hey. So spell the end letters of all of his name is Hamon. It's the Mon. So from Moshe came the Mon. But how can the Beirush of Miriam come back from Moshe? Says the Be'er Ma'am Chaim, that Moshe Rabbeinu has in him two letters of water. Moshe is a Mem. That's Mem for Mayim. Then in the letter Shin, Moshe, you have a Yud, but you don't have a Mem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to get water out of the rock. He said, Kach es ha-ma-te, take the stick. Now, Kach, take to your name the Ma-te, the Mem of the Ma-te. Now you have Mayim, and you can bring out of the rock water. Al Kaponim, we see that in a name, there is what it's going to do. Actually, the Sela itself, the rock, that the water comes out from, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it should be Venosan Meimov. What water is there in the rock? Okay, there's a Ness. Beirush Miriam comes from a rock, but there's no water in a rock. What's Venosan Meimov? It should give its water. Lot de Be'er Chaim Gevaldi. There is water hidden in a cellar. Spell out cellar. Cellar is Samach. In the middle of Samach is the letter Mem. Samach Mem Chof. Lamed is Nochamol. Is also a Mem. Samach, again. Samach is in the middle letters a Mem. Then Lamud of Selah, the middle letters a Mem. And then ayin, the middle letters are yud. Mem, mem, and yud is mayim. From the selah, the nosan, meimav, it will give its water, because its name, its essence, has in it water. And therefore, the Be'er Ma'ayim Chaim says, a name has to be kept, because it's the tachlis of the person. Now, the Beis Yosef says, in Or HaChaim, Siman Reish Sadi Tes, I'm sure many of us did this last night, he brings B'Shem the cold boy, that the women have a minhag to go and draw water on Motzei Shabbos, straight after they hear Baruch Hu, they go and draw water from the wells. Many of us are makpid to empty the kettle and fill a new kettle Motzei Shabbos, and Tayadavka have hot water because Mechabesh La'atzvoisom, Maim Chamim B'Motzei Shabbos is a skula against Atzvos, which is a normal thing on Motzei Shabbos because the Neshama Yisera has gone away. And you take a look in the Pele Yoyetz, he says Ashirim have the blues on Motzei Shabbos till Sunday morning, till they have the coffee and the cigarette, and then they calm down. And he says, it don't need to be like that. He said, you take out a Gemara, Motzei Shabbos, Pekudei Hashem, Yesharim, Mesam Chilev, and that should cheer a person up. But Al Kaponim, Motzei Shabbos, there's a minhag to go and draw water from the wells. There was a woman that once went Motzei Shabbos, her husband was a Mukashkin, and it says that in Motzei Shabbos, Berush Miriam, that's in Tveria, as Rashi says in this week's Sedra, spreads across all the rivers and all the water supplies around the world. And if one catches the right bucketful, one might get Berush HaMiriam in it, and it's a skula for refuah. So this woman wanted to heal her husband, who was a mukashkin, he was diseased on his whole body. So she went to the well, Motzei Shabbos, and for some reason she delayed. Maybe she was trying to get that right bucketful, and she delayed. She came home late. No, the husband was waiting 10 minutes, 20 minutes. 30 minutes, half a minute, half an hour, he's already starting the steam coming out his nose. And she comes in, an hour late. He says, you know, I had this on and that on and this shit and whatever. And he explodes. She had, you know, back in the day, they used to carry the barrel, the bucket on the head or face, on the shoulder, whatever it was. And she starts to shake and tremble and crash. The bucket goes and crashes down to the floor. And the water's everywhere. Nu nishkefela kol bayis shalin nishbach yain kamayim Motzei Shabbos dachaskula for wine to spill and not complain, because that way it means that there's shalom in the house if you're able not to be makbid on that. And memela there's bracha, but it spilt. Now wherever bits of the splash of that spillage hit him, he healed. My high, why did he heal? Because she happened to catch the Berush HaMiriam that night, but unfortunately because of his temper, he only got healed in very, very small areas, and the rest of him remained damaged. So, what did he gain from his anger? The famous yisoid of Ragzen loyolsa beyodai ela Ragzen usoi. All he's left with is his anger. He didn't gain anything. He definitely lost. All he got was the Ragzen elo ela Ragzen usoi, like the famous vort of the stipler by Mitzrayim when the frog came out. The big frog came out. What did the Mitzrayim do? Bash it. Hey, some more frogs are coming out. Bash it again. What do you mean? Stop. The territory is a ragzen, never gains. Ein lo elo, ragzen usoi. Now, Kafa Chaim brings this story, and he says, from here's a musa, never to get angry. It's never worth it. Ki kas b'cheik silim yonuach. Anger is for fools. Befrat, he says, on Motzei Shabbos, that people are anyway down, and, missing their neshama yisera, they should realize that there's not really a reason to be angry. They're just down. And therefore, don't get angry. Often a person doesn't realize that he's not really moaning about anything. He's moaning because he's upset inside. There's not a real reason to grumble. Says the Kafa Chaim, a beautiful Nakuda. He says, it says in Keheles, this person would have been healed. His whole body would have been healed had he not got angry. It says in Keheles, Vahose kas milibecho, take away anger from your heart. And take away bad from your flesh. He says, with this person, this is literally true. Had he been Hose Kas Melibecho, then he would have been healed with this water from the Berush HaMiriam. But because he was foolish enough to get angry, so he wasn't able to be Hose Mekas Melibecho, so therefore he was stuck without the Have Ro, literally Mipsorecho. Just coming to mind, I'd like to share with you, because it just came to mind, we say when it comes, you say it. So I remember once seeing a Sefer Hasidim that said, he told his son, a father told his son on his deathbed, he said, whenever you have a reason to get angry, let it lay for 24 hours. Azai. Yeah, you can get angry. I'm not saying you can't get angry, but let it lay for 24 hours. And it brings a story that this son didn't have children for many, many, many years. And eventually he had to go away for a big business trip. And he doesn't know how many years later he'll come back. So he left his wife. He traveled away. He's away for many years, 13 years, 14 years. And he comes back home. And he sees his wife chatting to a man in his room. And, they were laughing together, etc. He pulled out his sword and he was ready to chop their heads off. And then he remembered his father said, you have to wait 24 hours before you do anything with anger. Okay, we'll have to deal with Pinchas. And because sometimes Kanos has to be Miyad. But either way, he waited. The Maisa, that allowed time for him to speak to his wife. And his wife told him, I'd like to introduce you to our son. Because when you left, I was pregnant after the last Pekida. And Mamela, this is your son. Had he not waited the 24 hours, he wouldn't have had not a son nor a wife. That's the Sefer Hasidim says, to wait always 24 hours before one lets out their calf. I also saw in Sfarim Hasidim, a nice remez. It says, af, anger is always in the nose. Af, smoke coming out the nose. That's how it's always explained in Rashi. Vayicha af. The nose has the shape of a vav and two yuds, right? A nekuda is a yud. The two nekudas in the nose are two yuds. And the shape of the nose is a vav. That's Gematria 26. It says, whoever's koyus is kilo over davoy dezora. Because when you let the steam through your nose, that's like being moicha kashem Hashem, which is Gematria 26. Avaya is 26. Okay. Now, let's move on. There's halachas in Hilchus Bikacholim. And there's two nekudas in Hilchus Bikacholim that are super important to be mekayim the mitzvah. One is to go and visit. And by going and visit, one sees the plight of the cholah. And by seeing his plight, one is able to daven better for the cholah. Obviously, it's internal musa as well. It makes the person realize he has to do tshuva. But for the cholah, and it's a schus for the cholah, that he actually helps the person do tshuva. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said in last week's Sedra that there will not be a pekida by Korach. The Chazal say we learn Bikocholim from Korach, because Moshe Rabbeinu said Korach will not die like normal people and will not have visitors like normal people. What's the Nakuda? Why shouldn't he have visitors? Because normally one's meant to visit a Kohler, but he'll be swallowed up alive and there'll be no time for anyone to visit him. Why shouldn't he have visitors? Because if he has visitors, he merits people doing tshuva due to his Kohli. But Korach doesn't deserve that. So Moshe Rabbeinu said he shouldn't die like a normal person and he shouldn't have visitors. And Kleyoko last week, etc. So Memela, one nekuda of visiting is so that one can daven properly for his plight, and also that one can daven there and then in front of the chayla without having to mention the name of the chayla. Because one can say, Kael no, Rafor no, lo, like we find by Miriam. And the Chasam Sofer says, it's a better tefillah than mentioning his name. When one's away from the chayla, one has to mention the name. Mentioning a name is a kitrug. Saying in front of the chayla, Kael no, Rafor no, lo, is the best skula for Rafor. So maybe that's one nekuda. The Ramah says, whoever goes to a chayla and doesn't daven is not yoytza b'kacholim. Not yoytza b'kacholim. Secondly, a very important nekuda of b'kacholim, which unfortunately during this tkufa we weren't able to be mekayim, and that is that going to the chayla, one is able to see his needs. One is able to speak to the nurses and ask them to, can you do this? Can, protect you, get some extra food in, get some this in, what people need. And that's what Yidin always very makbid on, never to leave a chayla, and one has to be mishtadl in this tkufa. I don't know. I guess there was no choice, but if whenever one is able, it's the most important thing to be able to go in. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva went into a Talmud that no one visited. He washed up, he cleaned up, he gave him food, and the Talmud said, "If not for you, I would have died." And Rabbi Akiva said, "From here we see that whoever doesn't visit the chayla and sort out his needs is ki'ilu shayfach domim." Says the Chofetz Chaim, this is Stokel Aniyim and Ashirim, when there's chevras that make sure that the Chola has all their needs, bain in the day, bain in the night. Families are often able to look after Chola in the day, sometimes not at night. They used to have a chevras lina. They used to make sure that he was looked after in the hospitals, etc. And this is it Stokel Aniyim and Ashirim? Aniyim and Ashirim. I saw the Chavis Yoyeh. he has a tshuva about the black plague. And he says over there that sometimes in a matzav of choli, when the goyim at that time were ma'alal on the Eden, that they caused the black plague, they blocked all the roads off, no one could bring food to the cholim, etc. He said normally, pidyon shvuim is on a higher level of tzedakah than you know, than aniyim and food. It's on a higher level because everything is in pidyon shvuim. They could kill them, they could not give them food, they could torture them, all sorts of things. However, normal tzedakah has only a few elements of tzedakah. He says in the black plague where they blocked us off from food supplies and looking after the cholim and the rest, he said then the chola has a din of pidyon shvuim, and it's the greatest tzedakah to somehow sneak in food, etc. to a chola and make sure they're looked after like Eden would look after them. Now, in Hilchos Bikur Cholim, there is an akuda that needs a hesbah. When one visits, the Shulchan Aruch says, even a Ben Giloy should visit, even though he takes 1/60th of the illness. What does it mean he takes 1/60th of the illness? Seems to certain people, the same age or the same muzzle, are able to take away a little bit of the choil. But then why should they go? It's contagious. They're losing out. They don't want to catch this. Says the Ben Yodah, he asks this as a question. I don't understand, Taka. How can it be that one catches 1/60th? It's doch, because choilim is one of the things, one of the mitzvahs, that are caring, that oichlim perisem, but oilim azeh, how you talking that can catch a bit of the illness? And the Shulchan Aruch says you should still go even so. Says Rabbi Yitzchok Zilberstein, a beautiful pshat, which I think we'll appreciate today in the matzav we're in. He says like this. He says, actually catching the 1/60th is a brocha. It's actually the schar of Bikur Cholim. Because as we know, when there's illnesses around, there's something called a vaccine, vaccination. What is a vaccine? You take a little bit of the illness and you put it into the person. It's not strong enough to harm the person, but it allows his body to get used to this problem and find the right things to fight this illness. That's a vaccine. If it gets the antibodies. So he says, when one visits a chola and he's a ben giloy and ben mazloy, he takes away a 1/60th of the illness of the chola and he actually gains, because a 1/60th isn't enough to harm. It's just enough to get his body used to this illness so that he has a vaccine now against the illness in the future. A very nice vort. Okay. Now, I want to come to two more nekudas. One is, the end of the halacha, it says that if there is a chola, yelech etzal chochem shebe'ir, shevakesh alav rachmim. One should go to the chochem of the ear that should daven for him. And the question is, why should go to the chochem of the ear? Why dafka in the town? Why not somewhere else? So the Mishnah Schir, the Misocha Teichtal, in Parshas Devorim, he has an arichus about this, and he brings from tzaddikim that they were made on themselves, that while they were rabbonim, in the 30 years that they were rabbonim, big famous tzaddikim, while they were rabbonim, never came a shaila of a kesem from an isha or chometz bePesach, because they felt that they learned Hilchos Pesach and Hilchos Nidda and whatever was relevant to the full, and they knew it would a shaila come up, and they were shoima the im amela that the shaila shouldn't need to come up. That was the what various tzaddikim were made on themselves, that the mesirus to the klal and their lishma and their learning made that the town wouldn't need these shilas because they prepared these shilas anyway, so Hashem doesn't need to test them. So the Sefer carries on to say, so why doesn't that happen nowadays? Why don't we find such a shmirah of a rov on the town nowadays? So he says that it's dependent on the kehila and the rov. He brings various psukim to prove this, and there's no time to go into it now. He says like this, when the town were vabundan and makusha properly with the rov, and they listened to his every psak, then Memela, when he learnt up the sugyas properly and he was the orev, he was the guarantor for them, that Hilchos Pesach was guarded, Hilchos Nidda was guarded, no shailas needed to come up. But when they don't listen to him, only when it's convenient, then his psokim and his shmira doesn't help them. He says from the Seif Chasidim, that when Chazal say to Dafka go to the Rav Shebe'ircha, the Chochem Shebe'ircha, it's 25. I thought it was 30. Okay, I'm going to finish. When it says that you have to go Dafka to the Chochem Shebe'ircha and not to somewhere else, it means that the Chacham Shaviruch has a connection with you. He gives you every psak. He can also paskin l'chaim, that person had enough yisurim, and taka, when we be all zeicher to refuas, and I think now is time to finish with the refuas and go to the yeshuas, and when we be zeicher to good shleimah b'mehir v'yameinu, amen.